How can an atheistic artist bear witness to the Holy Spirit? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this Friday edition of Renewing Your Mind with teacher and theologian Dr. R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul is also the minister of preaching and teaching at St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida. Artists of all kinds have multiple sources that help shape and influence their work. Bach composes music to the glory of God, bearing witness to God's influence in his life. But what about musicians and artists who are atheists? Do they bear witness to God in their works? Does the Holy Spirit work through them? As we continue our study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Sproul will explain the role the Holy Spirit has in the arts. With more on that, here's our teacher with The Spirit of Creative Expression.
In this second session in our study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, what I want to look at is the role that the Spirit plays in the creative arts. That may sound like a strange topic to deal with respect to a study of the Holy Spirit, to link the Holy Spirit with art. But I'm going to do it because I have a personal passion with the way in which the contemporary Christian community seems to have turned its back upon the arts, as if art were something that were inconsistent with the things of God. And in so doing, we have turned over so much of the shaping and forming of our own culture to those who use the skills of communication to produce a worldview that is alien to the things of God. And beloved, that is not good. So let me begin by reading a couple of passages from the Old Testament. Don't try to follow along because they'll be so brief you won't need to. First of all, from the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus, where we hear this command that comes from the lips of God. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to sanctify him, that he may minister to me as a priest. Then in Exodus 31, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. The first person that Scripture ever mentions as being filled with the Holy Spirit is filled for the purpose of art. He's anointed by God the Holy Spirit for creative expression, for glory, and for beauty. I remember when I was a student in graduate school in the early 60s that Vesta and I had an occasion to go to a midnight jazz concert by the progressive jazz artist Thelonious Monk. And what I noticed immediately was that this man was dressed in blue jeans, a faded sweatshirt, he had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, sunglasses on, this is now 1 o'clock in the morning, and a black woolly Russian Cossack hat. And Thelonious Monk came on the stage and it was like he was spaced out, and he didn't know where he was. And he walked over and straddled the piano bench sideways and sort of casually leaned over and started to plink the keyboard one note with one finger. Plink, plink. And he's all over the place with this one finger making sounds that sounded awful. Then he turned around sort of on the bench and added the left hand and started to play what I called Venusian music. Music from Venus. It was not of this world. The music was dissonant. It sounded like nothing I'd ever heard before. And then as the sounds that he made got further and further and further out, it became apparent that there was some kind of proportionality, some kind of harmonic relationship going on that was mathematically consistent, and that where most jazz players were playing ninths and thirteenths, Monk is out in 31sts and 43rds. And somehow, he resolved it. And out of the discord came a final harmony. And I thought, I have been in the presence here of a genius. Let's let Thelonious Monk be exhibit A about one kind of art. Let me mention a second kind of art that I saw on television a few weeks ago when I was watching the Dallas Cowboys. And the artist that appeared on television was using as his medium a chalkboard. And his instrument was a piece of chalk. Herschel Walker had just scored a crucial touchdown. And John Madden appeared on television with a piece of chalk. And he said, "Watch what happened." He said, "The right end fired straight ahead against the left defensive tackle. Bam!" He said, "This guard came over and fired downfield. Bam!" He said, "The right tackle, bam, straight ahead. The halfback went, led through the play. Walker crossed over, cut back against the flow, and scored. Bam, bam, bam." Did you see it? It's a thing of beauty. Out of all those zigs and all those zags, what Madden showed here was that it wasn't a matter of one man carrying a football and running down the field. It's one thing to run down the field carrying a football in your hand by yourself. It's another thing to do it when there are 11 skilled men trying to stop you. Now, to advance the football requires what we call popularly and simply teamwork. But for that teamwork to take place, a real kind of orchestration has to go on. Where men move, they are in motion in a tempo with a cadence, in symmetry, in proportionality, and in relationship. Beloved, that is what art is all about. And I'm convinced that there are three basic elements to the Christian faith. The good, the true, and the beautiful. The source of all truth is God. There is no truth except for God. He is the truth, the fountainhead, and the source of all truth. That God is also the summum bonum. He is the ultimate good, the standard of good, the fountainhead of good, the foundation of all that is good. Without God, there is no good. And God is beautiful. He is the fountainhead of all beauty, the source of all beauty, the foundation of all beauty, the standard of all beauty, because He, in His essence, is beautiful. The relationship within the Godhead of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit is the ultimate harmony, the ultimate symmetry, the ultimate perfect relationship, which every time we see order, harmony, proportionality, relationship, symphony in this world, it bears witness to the character of God. What I'm saying to you in simple terms is this: where there is beauty, there is the Spirit of God. I'm going to say it again. Where there is beauty, there is the Spirit of God. Now, does that mean that every artist, because he's an artist, is born of the Spirit? No. Let me make a couple of distinctions. That's always the theologian's prerogative. The first distinction I want to make is between what we call primary beauty and secondary beauty. Primary beauty refers to the beauty that resides in the character of God Himself, the ultimate source and foundation, which is primary. It is ahead of everything else. Secondary beauty is the beauty that is found in the creation of God that bears witness to God. Does everybody understand the distinction? There's the beauty that resides intrinsically within God, and then there is the beauty that He manifests in His creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth His handiwork. But not only does the creation, the work of His hands, in a secondary way display the beauty of God, but also God has made out of His craftsmanship human beings. And every human being is stamped, indelibly stamped, with the image of his Creator. Every human being has the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? Not in the saving sense. Not in the sense that they are regenerate, but in creation, the Holy Spirit is seen as the very life force of humanity. That apart from the Spirit of God, from the breath of God that He breathes into this clay that is inert, when God breathes into us the breath of life, He breathes His Spirit. Paul says that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. So that we understand in theology that the Holy Spirit is the power by which the human spirit can exist at all. So in that broad, general sense, every human being, to be a human being, participates in the Spirit of God to that degree, in the sense that he is created through the Spirit's power. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's a Christian. No. But everybody, even the person who's the most vehement atheist, the most militant person hostile to the things of God, is still in the image of God. I can say I'm not in the image of God. I can say I don't believe in God. I can say I hate God. That does not, in and of itself, erase the image of God that God has given me. What I'm saying is that it is possible to bear witness to God in spite of yourself. When Jean-Paul Sartre picked up a pen to write against God. In his writing, he in fact bore witness to the character of God, because he couldn't even have been able to communicate with the skill and the power and the force that he did without being sustained by the source of all truth, the source of all good, the source of all beauty, the source of all intelligence. So in spite of himself, with his insights, he was bearing witness to God. Now, there have been great controversies historically over the nature of beauty. And I stand in the classical tradition that sees the marks of beauty in terms of relationship. I've used terms like proportionality, harmony, symmetry, and that sort of thing. We're talking now about how things fit together. How things fit together. Now I'm going to make a second distinction that Jonathan Edwards made and made popular among Christians, and that is the distinction between simple beauty and complex beauty. Do you understand the difference between a stick figure and the Mona Lisa? Anybody can do a stick figure because we keep it simple. But even in a stick figure, there are proportions and relationships and levels of complexity. The human face. What makes a human face beautiful? We all have two eyes, a nose, lips, and ears, cheeks, chins. Well, some of us have chins, some of us don't. I didn't get one. Or they come three at a time. But if all I saw were an eyeball, I could be looking at the Cyclops, Polyphemus, and I would never think that he's beautiful. And if you had one eye here and the other eye up here, I don't think there'd be too many people call you pretty. What we call a pretty face is when those individual elements are related to each other in such a way of proportionality that we see and respond to a kind of harmony that is pleasing to the soul. Edgar Allan Poe said that dissonance, discord, chaos, these things are naturally displeasing to the soul. And harmony pleases not just the ear, but the soul. Now, the parts and elements that make up all of reality defies our imagination. And the ultimate philosophical question, indeed the scientific question of our day, is do these things make sense, or is there ultimate chaos, ultimate disorder, disharmony, discordance in the universe? Or is the universe ultimately resolved? Well, from creation to consummation, the beauty of it, ladies and gentlemen, is that when God creates, at first the world is without form, formlessness. It is void, emptiness. And it is dark. There's no color. There's no light. There's no noise. It is silent. It is ugly. Until the Spirit broods upon the water. And when the Spirit comes into creation, the Spirit is not the author of confusion. The Spirit is God working to bring resolution. God comes on the waters, and where there was darkness, the lights come on. and the universe begins to be formed. And the universe is then filled by the Spirit of God so that it's no longer formless, it is no longer empty, it is no longer dark. Now, do you think that the Spirit of God stopped that work of resolution on the creation day? Christ is the end of all things. But the Spirit continues to work resolution in your soul, to bring harmony to your being, to make you proportionate, to give you integrity, so that you fit together in an integral way, so that your life is whole, so that your life ultimately has the stains and the blemishes of discord and of ugliness removed. That's what it's all about. And the work of God is beautiful. You are His craftsmanship. And the one who is doing the craftsmanship within your life right now is God the Holy Spirit. For glory and for beauty. Have you thought of the beauty of Christ, who comes in humiliation for exaltation? Whereas Kierkegaard says, in Jesus meet the eternal and the temporal, the infinite and the finite, the unconditioned and the conditioned. Infinite justice, infinite mercy coalesce, so that this one who appears is portrayed for us in the apocalypse as the one who at the same time is the lion and the lamb. How can that be? How can you resolve the tension between lions and sheep? Jesus did it. And what the message of Scripture is that God's goal for mankind and for the universe is glory and beauty. And it is the Spirit who is driving this universe towards the fulfillment of the plan of the Father, so that in the consummation of the kingdom, not only will there be no tears and no more death and no more night, there'll be no more chaos and there'll be no more discord and there'll be no more ugliness, but there will be beauty in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven, and in the new earth. And we will see without blemish the craftsmanship of God. Beloved, to hate art is to embrace a Christianity without beauty. And a Christianity without beauty is a Christianity without the Spirit of God. And a Christianity without the Spirit of God is a Christianity without God. And a Christianity without God is no Christianity at all.
That was Dr. R.C. Sproul teaching us about the inescapable influence the Holy Spirit has on all creation. If you'd like to purchase our current 6-part Holy Spirit series, it's available on 5 CDs for $30.40. We'd like to tell you about today's offer for a donation of any amount. The desire of the Christian ought to be living a life centered on Christ. But how does that desire translate into our day-to-day lives? In his latest book entitled In Christ Alone, Living the Gospel-Centered Life, noted theologian, pastor, and educator Dr. Sinclair Ferguson explores aspects of the person and work of Jesus. This book is designed to help believers gain a better understanding of their Savior and the Christian faith, and to live out that faith in their day-to-day lives. During this week on Renewing Your Mind, we'd like to send you a copy of Dr. Ferguson's book, In Christ Alone, for a donation of any amount. Again, if you'd like to receive a copy of the book, In Christ Alone, Living the Gospel-Centered Life, call now and we'll send it to you for a donation of any amount. So call now. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is Ligonier Ministries, P.O. Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Again, that's Post Office Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Thank you for being with us today. Join us again Monday as Dr. Sproul continues his Holy Spirit series. Until then, have a great weekend and Lord's Day. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul.